Welcome back to The Whip Around, your weekly look at news and current events, where nothing is safe and nothing is sacred. Be warned, there will be pop culture spoilers, low culture language, and potentially some cultural insensitivities. With your hosts, Jill Yapsuga.
Having my moment with my mac and cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing and I feel fabulous, so do it.
Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
And Sean Hayes.
I'm participating in the currency exchange of your attention from my
right,
compliment.
As opposed
to... I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
Have too much fun with the whip around.
Citizens rejoice! The Whip Around is back, and with it, co-host Jill Yapsuga has returned. She has returned for I don't even know how many weeks it has been. I know how long it has felt.
Like forever.
Forever, and like another 2 weeks on top. And if I could say, I'm picking up a little joy. I'm getting hints of brilliant marketing. And a little bit of, like, mouse hair?
I was in the happiest place on earth.
Girl, where have you been?
Disney World.
Jill was in Disney World, everybody. And look, as somebody who, and I don't know how much we're talking about this on the show today, but for somebody from the spinster point of view,
right.
I say that with confidence because I have witnessed your channel now.
Right.
What is Disney World like approaching it as a... I just feel like I'm using a bad word. As a spinster, how is Disney World?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I mean, Epcot's the best because you can drink and eat your way around the world. But there are some rides where you have to, like, borrow someone's kid. But, like, aside from that, it's amazing.
Can I stop you right there? That's not, like, a service they provide, is it? There's not just,
unfortunately,
like,
there should be, though. You should be able to just be like, you know what? Can I rent your kid? And you know what? And as a matter of fact, my mom's done it. Because there are some rides where you have to have a kid. And
she's rented a child?
Well, she's asked somebody, you know, I really want to go on this. Are you going to go on it with your kid? And they're like, nah, probably not. And I'm like, I'll ride with them. And she's done it. Because you know what? Desperate times.
Desperate
times. You want to be on a ride and you got to have a child with you.
Desperate times.
What are you going to do when you don't have one?
Call for borrowing children.
But yeah, no, I was there with my family, my nephews, and they loved it. I loved it. I always like it. But this year I was less cynical about it. So it was good.
Okay. Uber highlight. Any particular Uber
Oh my God.
Highlight?
Well, I'm going to get to it later, but I'll bring it up now. Pandora. There's a ride now in the, like, Avatar Land, which I don't really like that movie at all, but...
I saw Fern Gully, so I didn't bother.
Same principles, just with real people. Well, this was a documentary. That's Fern Gully's fiction.
Avatar.
It's real.
Documentary. Okay.
It's happened.
St. James Cameron.
Yes. So the ride is one of these things where, like, you're strapped into what looks like a motorcycle and you're put in front of the big, like, giant circular screen. But they pump
oxygen.
It almost feels like it because there's scent thrown at you. There's wind thrown at you and you feel like you're flying. You're flying all around Pandora.
So it's
and
a
like
a three dimensional.
Oh, my God. And 3D. It's amazing. It is amazing. I went on it three times, which is ridiculous because normally the wait's like 2 hours and I somehow lucked out and I went and basically went on it three times in like 2.5 hours.
So you're like reduced to a little kid. You were at this
place
behaving like child Jill.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's
the best.
Awesome.
It's so great.
So Jill is making a little personal history for herself and taking no prisoners and thumping what she must on the way. The show here, incidentally, is also making some history. Tonight, our recording, and you, listener, in your car or private place or wherever you're hearing it, are witness to our first musical guest with us in studio, Matt Briner and Brian Donnelly of the Rogue Diplomats. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
Thank you for having us.
It was an honor just to be nominated. I'm really glad to be here.
Thanks for coming. So that has been the Rogue Diplomats. It's really fun. We'll have them again sometime.
Thank you very much. We'll see you later.
Thank you. That's been real.
So we've been doing all kind of tech setup and everything with the Rogue Diplomats, and we appreciate you guys rolling with us, sticking with us while we figured things out. Phil made a cameo. Maybe if you listen closely to some of the additional extra features, you can even catch him in the background. But yeah, we've got them here, And Matt and I, you know, I say Briner. It's Briner.
Yeah.
Briner and I go way back. Briner and I a little bit less so. A lot of it online. A lot of it friends in law. But allow me to say, Briner, Donnelly, this is Jill. Say hi to Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Jill, it's lovely to meet you once again.
Hey, guys.
And out there are all of our listeners. So listeners, you can say hi to your speakers.
Hey.
What I'd like to do is turn things over to Jill for some actual real-life interview questions. And I'll be jumping in and everything, but Jill has this open opportunity to learn about you guys. The only thing that I would like to ask before we launch into things is, are we going to be getting songs from you today?
If you ask politely, yes.
Jill,
so that's probably
yes,
so
maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe it won't happen.
If we're lucky, if we're well behaved.
I'm finishing up my Guinness, so probably when that's done.
You can be nice.
I can ask politely.
And there'll be plenty of other issues that we're going to be bringing up during the show. I'm going to encourage these guys. I'm going to force them to plug at least three things while you're here. Right?
If
because
we must.
We've got an album to talk about. I've heard you discussing, like, I think two separate live events coming up.
Yeah.
Plus, and we're
this
gonna talk,
week.
See? And we're going to talk about this a lot more as the show goes on. We've got this whole holiday festival green.
There's something coming up this week. What is
it's like Valentine's Day, but green.
But green, right? And Irish.
Yeah.
There's a thing coming.
Yeah, it was just a holiday invented by Guinness to sell cards.
That's right.
Yeah. Which I wish Guinness like sort of made up all the holidays.
I wish there were Guinness cards.
Oh, Merry Christmas. Right? Here's your box full of booze. You know? I don't even mean in bottles. Just fill a box.
With booze.
Line it. You can line Martha Stewart can hammer out the details,
yeah,
but you
it.
Just pour it in a box and wrap it. So anyway.
I think Franzia does that already.
Do they? See, that's like you can get it. I mean, you have to open the box.
And just
and basically,
bathe in it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so but, that's a bag more like a tarp lining.
Yeah, that's cheating. That's cheating. Okay. Lining it is cheating. You got to open this box and drink it quickly.
Gotcha.
Like, that's what I'm talking
about. So it's just in cardboard. We're just like trying to beat the clock.
It's a wooden box.
My Christmas is a high pressure situation. That's the way I always grew up. It was a lot of shouting and a lot of love. And then we opened up another box and it all started over again.
That's every Christmas.
Yeah.
I was also raised Catholic.
So you know what I'm talking about. So let's turn it over to Jill. And let's meet the rogue diplomats. And we've got two of them, and there's a total of
five,
right? Okay. So let's meet two of the rogue diplomats, yeah?
So I have a question. Where did the name come from, rogue diplomats?
So to our knowledge, we are the only Irish band named after Dennis Rodman.
We're gonna have to get our scholars to look into that.
Yeah, I encourage you to Google that heavily. But we were looking, casting about for a band name, and at the time, Dennis Rodman was making unsanctioned trips to North Korea to hang out with his good friend, Kim Jong-un. And
Ill
I was,
at that point. Wasn't it ill at that point?
No, it was the younger one, Kim Jong-un.
Oh, I thought it was the last one, no?
I thought it was the current one, because he was like 22 and like way into basketball. I mean, he's still...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
The so, auspices was point. Come visit little Cartman.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which, by the way, the more things change, am I right?
The more they stay the same.
The more they stay the same.
Exactly. Topical.
Booyah! We're news. I told you.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
So I was reading an article about his unsanctioned journeys abroad, and they referred to him as a rogue diplomat. And I thought to myself, man, that would be a really good band name. And then I thought to myself, we need a band name. Why not the Rogue Diplomats? Why not us? So here we are.
If not us, I guess Dennis Rodman. And if not now, I guess a year ago. So is it fair to say then that in a sense, I mean, like North Korea inspired your band. Then.
Right.
North Korea inspired an Irish. Do you consider yourself a rock band, by the way?
No.
Just I guess.
I mean, how do you define your genre?
Like, we have been. That's not really.
Now that we've got our Korean roots, I mean, we're really world music at this point.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
true.
We can be considered K-pop, I suppose. But no, we have been classified as Celtic rock. But I think since we don't have any electric instruments or a drum set or like a really bass at all, other than the Bodhran, we consider
so druidic rock.
Yeah,
it's cool electricity.
Ooh, I like it.
Celtic rock.
If I could grow a beard, I suppose we'd be more druidic rock. But no, it's more like Celtic folk, like in the ilk of the like Clancy Brothers and Tommy Makem, that kind of thing.
So why Celtic music? I mean, just because that's a very niche There's not, I would imagine, a whole lot of kids growing up like, I really want to do some Celtic music in my garage band.
We really, really like free beer. So that's a start.
It's literally how it started.
So it's a scam.
Pretty much.
It's working.
Got it. It is working.
They had multiple drinks here at the Whip Around Studio.
In 2009?
I don't remember.
Brian took a trip to Ireland, came back, and I had never played a Bodhran, but I had always wanted to learn. And he came back from Ireland with a Bodhran.
For those of us who are less fluent,
it's an Irish hand drum that you can play pretty much any sound that you get off of a normal drum set, or at least close to, and it's an animal skin that you play with your right hand and your left hand. You kind of control the tone by pushing on the other side of the skin.
We need to get like a good shot of you with you. And what's it called again?
A Bodhran. Bodhran. Bodhran.
Sounds very primal.
All right, we need to get a good shot with you and your Irish drum.
Yeah, that was the drum that the Irish used to use when they were going into war. They would beat the Bodhran. That was what they marched to.
Very cool. Very
violent.
But now it's much more orchestral.
Okay.
So when you came back from Ireland, Brian, did you decide I need to make a band?
Well,
to do this.
So I'd always liked Irish music. My uncle and my great uncle are both in Irish bands. It's just something that like I had always grown up with, and so I knew how to play a good number of like Irish folk type songs, but it was just like me playing for my own entertainment. And then when I lived in New York, I used to co-host an open mic night at a local bar in Astoria. And so when I got back from Ireland, I said, Matt, learn to play this drum.
Because literally threw the drum at me.
Yeah.
I was like, learn this. And I was like, all right.
Miraculously, the drum didn't break, and now here we all are.
Friendship. Play this.
Yeah. And so, they had asked me, because they knew I knew Irish music, to do, like, an open mic, like, type night for St. Paddy's Day. And so the first one was in 2010 or 11.
10.
And it was just me and Briner. And we played for like 3 hours, but we only knew like an hour and 15 minutes worth of material, so we just kind of like ate our own tail until we were too drunk to play anymore, and then from there we were a band.
Well, no, the second year we did it again for free beer, and there was no real like, we're gonna be a band and this is a thing.
Yeah.
But the second year we did it, and there was a guy who was like a friend of a friend of a friend, like an acquaintance, who was right in front of us, very drunk, literally sitting on the floor because there were no seats to be had, with his back against the wall, singing harmony to every song we sang. And we were like, do you play an instrument? And he was like, I play guitar. And we were like, all right, you're in the band. And that was Pat. And Pat came on and
you scooped up.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like off the floor. Yeah. Real, a bandmate.
Nice. Literally got scooped up.
Real discriminating taste, as you can tell.
Yeah, man.
Like, this is Celtic Spinal Tap. Like, look, you just got to just grab him. He's in the band.
It works.
Gotta love him, Pat. We were like, Pat, we already have Donnelly's on the guitar, and Pat started teaching himself the bouzouki, which is...
I'm sorry, the what?
It's a bouzouki.
It fires music. Huge missiles of music.
Yeah.
Just to your eardrums.
It's kind of like if a guitar and a banjo made Sweet Sweet Love and had a baby, that's a bouzouki. And he could go into the intricacies of like what the string setup is. It's double stringed.
Yo,
but it's always double stringed.
Do you know the Monty Python cheese sketch?
No, off the top of my
head. Cheese shop?
The cheese shop, yeah. Where there is, you know, like, you have this, you have this, you have this, you know. At one point in the middle of the sketch, I only just realized this just now, and I've been listening to Monty Python since I was a wee lad. There's music playing in the background, and at one point he screams at them to stop playing. Shut that bloody bouzouki up. And I never understood what the hell was going on until just this moment, right now, do I fully understand the Monty Python sketch.
Did you ever make the mistake of ordering bouzouki at a cheese shop?
No, but I will tell you this. I bet if we had some, like, Romanian dancers who came on the show, I would ask them, like, do you ever dance the bouzouki? Because you can hear them dancing in the sketch and in the background.
Yeah,
and I would say, like, oh, are you guys into the bouzouki? So that's been my tangent. But I thank you for your greater understanding that you've given to me in the comedy world.
You're welcome.
Sean has had an epiphany.
I have.
On today's show.
I understand John Cleese so much better now.
I just think it's so awesome that you guys do Celtic music because it is a niche, but it's a cool niche. Like, I'm Polish and I can't imagine growing up and being like, I really want to do polka. Like, there's a really big
Weird Al avenue made a career out of it.
Yeah, sort of. But I mean, like, there's not really an avenue for young people who are like, I really want to go out and just drink and listen to polka music.
For some free what else?
But
free vodka, I guess.
All those kids inspired by John Candy's performance in Home Alone.
There you go.
That's right.
I think for us it came from, I know Donnelly and I had a similar situation where when we were kids, especially like the Wolftones, the Clancy Brothers, Tommy Makeup, all of those old, the sort of Greenwich folk scene that sort of reinvigorated old Irish music, we were brought up on that. That was playing a ton in our households. And there's numerous Celtic festivals in the area that I was always dragged to as a kid and had a blast, loved every minute of it, and was enthralled by like the congenial scene. Everyone was a family at those things. Everyone loved it. And I had never really thought about it until Donnelly threw the bod run at me. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. And then we added Pat and then Nate Deal, who is a legitimate musician.
The only one we have.
He's got a degree in it. Yeah. My wife, Christine Scharfbreiner, who has a just monster voice. We eventually added her and she added a nice new sound. With those two, we are a true megazord of an Irish band. But
what's interesting to me, Briner, is that you look Donnelly looks precisely at home in the Irish band lineup. That just locks in. So do you, Briner, but the odd thing about you is that I could also see you just in like Lederhosen, like just playing in like a German polka band.
Well, that's the thing.
You've got the
Briner is, I'm Irish on both of my sides, but like typical southeastern Pennsylvania, there's a lot of Irish German. And Briner is actually an Austrian name.
Okay.
But like my grandmother's maiden name was O'Cullen. And I'm not far.
Oh, I don't question your credentials.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just congratulating you.
I was going to say, I will show receipts.
I'm being bi-ethnic in the musical realm. I just could see it. And I just, I don't know, like Briner looks like a he's cherubic. Cherubic?
Yeah, man. I mean, I've played one of the kids in The Sound of Music. There are photos of me in Lederhosen.
I know. I have them. I have all of them. Yeah. You want to see them?
I was in it with my future wife when we were four. That's when we had first discovered we had a crush on each other.
Bang. See?
Childhood.
That's adorable. Yeah.
It is.
I have a more fun question, though. Sorry, Sean.
Do your thing.
Step on your toes.
Do your thing, please.
So, because you guys do songs that encourage drinking, and obviously drinking brings people together, what's the craziest thing that you've witnessed or that someone has shouted out or done at one of your shows after said drinking while you're performing?
A couple times people have wanted to step up to the mic, turn in their own little personal karaoke, because we do
That birthday party.
Oh, man, that was some spectacular. We had done the Barley Mow, and there was some people who were taking it seriously. They were in it to win it. And we started playing 500 Miles by the Proclaimers, and one woman was like, my friend knows the harmony to this. So I was like, sure, come on up. And whew.
And we instantly just turned into live band karaoke.
Yeah.
And it was something.
We get that. That's what's interesting about playing pubs is that it's always something new. Like, you never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to walk in. Somebody's going to shout something from the back. Somebody will come up and try to grab your, like, I, with the butter on the Irish drum, people are constantly like, can I try to play it? And it's like, sure, give it a shot, but don't go
that's
too
trusting.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's trusting.
That's really trusting.
And like, how long did it take you guys to be able to still perform well after like five drinks?
Well, we used to play music together in college, so pretty much that was kind of just baked into the equation. We only played music together sober for the first time a few years ago.
We had to work at that.
Yeah, that's honestly harder, like when we're actually buttoned up and acting like we know what we're doing.
Yeah, if there's a venue that says, like, you have to use water, you can't drink on stage, then we have to really concentrate because it's no longer in our bones.
Do you run into that a lot? Is that a thing that outside of, I guess, a more traditionally what we would picture with, like, the Irish pub? And you guys clearly go beyond that. You play other places other than just Irish bar. Do you run into that often?
That's more of a festival thing, depending on what festival you're playing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of them are more stringent about how family-friendly you need to be.
Yeah. And that's usually a situation. Well, the family-friendly, that's the thing. We play a ton of drinking songs, but we encourage children to come because we'll clean it up. If we see kids in the audience, we can clean it up, and we do like The Unicorn by the Irish Rovers, that's just a timeless song that has little hand motions that little kids absolutely love, like, turn into Sharon Lois and Bram for a hot second.
Well, I've heard it on your album. Yeah. You have a mention in the Barley Mow on your album where you say, little kids, if you're out there, it's a juice box, you know. But I hadn't pictured that being a restriction. Like, you know what we should do is get an Irish band in here. Yeah, and then let's dry them out.
I just think it's funny because, like, you think about rock bands as being, like, rock bands as, like, drinking heavier, blah, 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 and it's, like, somehow detrimental. But then when you look at, like, Celtic bands or the
Druidic
kind of music,
right,
the kind of music that you guys perform, it just comes with it. And you're like, it's weird if they don't do it because a lot of the songs are drinking songs and it just comes with it. And there's no loss of abilities with it.
It's like George Carlin is doing comedy at, like, the fourth grade assembly.
Right.
Like,
he's just like, hey, none of that dirty stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks.
It's always interesting to get to a festival where they're like, hey, you have to use water on stage. And our first question is like, all right, who ruined it for everyone? Who was the band who came up here and just got fall down drunk?
Axl Rose came in and did a two-hour set
Buckethead.
By himself.
It's usually him.
So what I would like, I guess, is I kind of want to get to the big stuff. I want to talk to you guys about what you're around so much and what just happens to be, I'm going to call it newsworthy. I mean, we're coming up on a festival again. St. Patrick's Day is coming. I want to talk to you about that stuff. I want to dig in. So would it be acceptable if we get everything set up for you guys to barley mow us to the first break?
I don't think we can do that. I'm sorry, Sean.
All right. Then what I'm going to do is learn the ba-da-ma-bomb, and Jill's going to play guitar.
I'm going to play the bouzouki.
And then bouzouki, and we're going to eat some cheese, and we're going to play it ourselves. And you're going to hear how awesome that is.
Beautiful. It's going
to
be
very much looking forward to it.
Oh, God, please play music for us.
You got it.
All right. So,
since you asked so nicely.
Oh, God. So we're going to get things set up here for the Rogue Diplomats to give us some barley mow. And, hey, if you're in a position out there to get yourself a drink, you might want to get one for this.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you want to get a glass of water or whatever, that's fine. But, you know, if you want to join in with a beer, I highly recommend it. Fantastic song done by a very talented couple of guys here. And they're not too hard on the eyes either.
Oh, thanks.
Don't start.
Bye.
Anyway, we will be right back after this amazing song and a very short break with more from the Rogue Diplomats. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rogue Diplomats.
All right, it's time to play the Barley Mow. For those of you that don't know, this is a song that is all about the manufacturing, the distribution, the marketing, the sale, but most importantly, the consumption of alcohol. Everybody in the room has a beer in their hand. There's a couple of rules that go with it. We'll learn them as we go. But it starts like this. Here's good luck to the pint pot, good luck to the barley mow, good luck. At that point, you take a drink and you shout good luck. Not necessarily in that order. Jolly good luck to the pint pot, good luck to the barley mow. Oh, the pint pot, half a pint, Jill, but half a Jill, quarter Jill, miss again in the rumble. Here's good luck,
good luck,
good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow. Now that what you shout good luck again, but you don't take a drink, otherwise it won't last the whole song. And since we're on a podcast, good thing we're doing a visual. That's the momos, where you gotta kind of pound your fist up and down to the side, bring the elbow up like I'm a little teapot.
You and then bring it down like you're punching an Oompa Loompa.
There you go.
Here's good luck to the quart pot, good luck to the barley mow.
Good luck!
Take your drink.
Jolly good luck to the quart pot, good luck to the barley mow.
Oh, the quart pot, pine pot, half a pint, Jill pot, half a Jill, quarter Jill, nip again in the rumble. Here's good luck.
Good luck!
Good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow. Here's good luck to the afghalan, good luck to the barley mow.
Good luck!
Jolly good luck to the afghalan, good luck to the barley mow. Oh, the afghalan court, pot, pine, pot, have a pine, Jill, pot, have a Jill, quarter, Jill, nip again in the rumble. Here's good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow.
Here's good luck to the gallon, good luck to the barley mow.
Good luck.
Touch it, kiss me.
Jolly good luck to the gallon, good luck to the barley mow.
Oh, the gallon, the afghalan court, pot, pine, pot, have a pine, Jill, pot, have a Jill, quarter, Jill, nip again in the brumble. Here's good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow. Here's good luck to the aft barrel, good luck to the barley mow.
Good luck.
Jolly good luck to the half barrel, good luck to the barley mow. Oh, the half barrel gallon, the half gallon quart, pot, pine, pot, half a pint, Jill, pot, half a Jill, quarter, Jill, nip again in the rumble. Here's good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow.
Here's good luck to the barrel. Good luck to the barley mow.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Jolly good luck to the barrel, good luck to the barley mow.
Oh, the barrel, the apparel, gallon, the apgallon, court, pot, pine, pot, apple, pine, jill, pot, avigil, quarters, and live again in the bramble. Here's good luck,
good luck,
good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow. Here's good luck to the landlord, good luck to the barley mow. Good luck! Jolly good luck to the landlord, good luck to the barley mow. Oh, the landlord, the barrel, the apparel, gallon, the apgallon, quart, pot, pine, pot, apple, pine, jill, pot, avigil, quarter, jill, nip again, and the bramble. Here's good luck,
good luck,
good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow.
Here's good luck to the landlady, good luck to the barley mow.
Good luck!
Jolly good luck to the landlady, good luck to the barley mow.
Oh, the landlady, the landlord, the barrel, the apparel, gallon, the apgallon, quart, pot, pine, pot, apple, pine, jill, pot, apple, jill, quarter, jill, nip again, and the bramble. Here's good luck,
good luck,
good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow. Here's good luck to their daughter, good luck to the barley mow.
Good luck!
Jolly good luck to their daughter, good luck to the barley mow. Oh, their daughter, the landlady, the landlord, the barrel, the apparel, gallon, the apgallon, quart, pot, pine, pot, apple, pine, jill, pot, apple, jill, quarter, jill, nip again, and the bramble. Here's good luck,
good luck,
good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow.
Here's good luck to the drayer, good luck to the barley mow.
Good luck,
good luck.
Bring this podcast all the way up to PG rating. What the hell's a drayer? Good luck to the barley mow.
Oh, the drayer, the daughter, the landlady, the landlord, the barrel, the apparel, gallon, the apgallon, quart, pot, pine, pot, apple, pine, jill, pot, apple, jill, quarter, jill, nip again, and the bramble. Here's good luck.
Good luck!
Good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow. Here's good luck to the slavey. Good luck to the barley mow.
Good luck!
Jolly good luck to the slavey, good luck to the barley mow. Oh, the slavey, the drayer, their daughter, the landlady, the landlord, the barrel, the apparel, gallon, the apgallon, quart, pot, pine, pot, apple, pine, jill, pot, apple, jill, quarter, jill, nip again, and the bramble. Here's good luck,
good luck,
good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow.
Here's good luck to the bookie, good luck to the barley mow.
Good luck!
Jolly good luck to the bookie, good luck to the barley mow.
Oh, the bookie, the slavey, the drayer, the daughter, the landlady, the landlord, the barrel, the apparel, gallon, the apgallon, quart, pot, pine, pot, apple, pine, jill, pot, apple, jill, quarter, jill, nip again, and the bramble. Here's good luck.
Good luck!
Good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow. Here's good luck to the brewer. Good luck to the barley mow.
Good luck!
Good luck.
Don't worry, she's drinking a juice box. Because she's driving. Jolly good luck to the brewer. Good luck to the barley mow. Oh, the brewer, the bookie, the slavey, the drayer, the daughter, the landlady, the landlord, the barrel, the apparel, gallon, the apgallon, quart, pot, pine, pot, apple, pine, jill, pot, apple, jill, quarter, jill, nip again, and the bramble. Here's good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck to the barley mow. Mow, mow, mow. Here's good luck to the company. Good luck to the barley mow. Now, this is the last one, so you have to finish whatever's left in your glass. So if you've been taking small sips or just got a new beer, see you on the other side.
Drive well.
You're better off than us, audience. This is our eighth take.
And this is 9 a.m. on a Sunday. No.
In the car.
It's the best sing-along road trip ever.
I like how much you guys took that seriously.
Yep, just bubbles. Jolly good luck to the company. Good luck to the barley mow. Oh, the company, the brewer, the bookie, the slavey, the drayer, the daughter, the landlady, the landlord, the barrel, the apparel, gallon, the apgallon, quart, pot, pine, pot, apple, pine, jill, pot, apple, jill, quarter, jill, nip again, and the bramble. Here's good luck.
Good luck!
Good luck to the barley mow.
Yay!
Oh, look at Mr. or Mrs. Big Shot over here. Everyone wants a piece of this go-getter. I'm sure you hear it from your boss, your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents. Everyone wants a piece of you. Well, let us join the ranks, Chief. We need your mighty social media muscles to lift us to new listeners. So like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at The Whip Around. Heck, while you're at it, join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you.
Three times around, spun our gallant ship. Three times around spun she, and three times around spun our gallant ship, and we sank to the bottom of the sea. And the ocean waves do roll, and the stormy winds do blow, and we poor sailors go skipping at the top, while the landlubbers lie down below.
And you, lucky listener, have just been listening to The Mermaid, off of the Rogue Diplomat's debut album, Whiskey Picnic, which has been out for how long, guys?
Since last August.
a while.
So is there another one in the future for you guys?
Sure, probably. We don't really have plans because we keep making people. Yeah. So
I have a one-month-old, so I'm kind of in the moment.
I've got a toddler, so I'm just flying by the seat of my pants. She's
I have a four-year-old, so I understand.
Yeah. You know how that goes.
I get.
Should we expect like a kids bop version of the Celtic?
Oh my
Celtic
gosh!
Coming out soon, then.
Juice Box Picnic.
Easy now. No,
we're not paying you for that. Let's be very clear.
We're definitely in the process of like we've talked about putting together like entire sets for kids. Like we can do a kids party if someone asks us to. We will definitely entertain a group of children and then take virtually the same set at night. Do it for that's the great part about what we do, the Celtic music that we do, where you can play it in the afternoon for kids and they'll do the dances to it and they'll enjoy it, and then at night you get adults drunk enough, play the same songs, and they're like, this is great.
So it's like a make a day of it package.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can get the Rogue Dipmunts to play, and then it's the Adult Swim
when
portion.
When they need.
Exactly.
When the adults need.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Edie turns 5 in May, so we're going to look into hiring the Rogue Diplomats.
Mark it on the calendar.
To make the kids laugh, and then make the grown-ups.
That'll be your first 8-hour set.
There you go, man.
Sure.
The marathon.
Not the first.
Oh, not the first.
In order to fall back into what we do here on the Whip Around, I've got an Irish band in front of me, as does Jill, right? Or at least, you know, a talented
Catty
segment.
Corner. Yep.
Of a talented Irish band. And I've always wanted to ask this, given that St. Patrick's Day is right around the corner. St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
In America.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important, in your opinion? Why now? Why today? Why in the United States? In your view, is St. Patrick's Day important?
Because it's the most lucrative weekend of our year.
There is an honest man.
Yeah. Straight
culturally,
up
culturally speaking, I don't mean to jump the gun. Is it important? Do you feel?
To some. I mean, it depends on the pocket. Like right now, we are located in the southeastern central area of Pennsylvania where there is a large Irish contingent. And that's a big celebration for people because it's a cultural thing that people hold dear. Brian lived in New York for what, five years. And I've lived in New York for the last 12. Christine and I live in New York now. And I know a lot of people in the melting pot, diverse area of New York where they treat St. Patty's Day like it's the purge. And they just stay inside, batten down the hatches, and don't deal with all the drunkenness outside, which is totally understandable because people get absolutely ridiculous and out of control on St. Patrick's Day, but that's like part of what it's become, which is part of the fun of it.
Which is, I guess, that's what's circling here, right? The importance is that, you know. But Brian, your take on that issue of St. Patrick's Day's importance here and now?
For me personally, again, like having grown up with Irish music and, you know, my Irish heritage and culture being, you know, a legitimate, like, important part of my upbringing. Like for me, I find it really enjoyable and just fun to be a part of. And I mean, the whole tenor of the holiday is mostly, you know, fun and enjoyable and having just concentrating on the fun parts of Irish culture and sure. And heavy daytime drinking.
you just repeated yourself, but yeah.
Yeah. There's the other people that treat St. Patrick's Day like the purge, and not the ones indoors. I used to work at 55th and 6th in Manhattan, and St. Patrick's Day fell on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, and I went out to grab lunch, and I walked out of my office building, and there was somebody vomiting into a payphone. And it wasn't like a Superman booth. It was just like a freestanding phone that they thought they were hidden.
Not like holding the phone.
No, like
and expressing
onto,
their displeasure with Sprint. It was more just into the
into the physical phone.
Okay,
I
just wondered which Three Stooges style
using situation. it as blinders.
Okay,
this was more of a Jackass situation than Three Stooges.
That's true.
Too,
I guess they weren't really
in
the vomit.
Fluid.
You're right.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of its importance today, I think I don't know. I hesitate to say that it's not that it doesn't have its place, but it's. I feel like it's more of blanking.
If I could jump in real quick.
By all means.
I feel like one of the things that keeps St. Patty's Day a-rollin' is the fact that whether people identify it or not, Irish music is one thing that has found its way into just, American culture, yes, but also American music. Like, a lot of folk, a lot of bluegrass, a lot of American music has its root, has very not necessarily its roots, but also has similarities.
You know, there are common threads in chord structures in country music. I mean, like popular country music can be traced a lot of times.
Oh,
back
absolutely.
To,
like,
sure.
And what's interesting is that if you go to Ireland, you hear a lot of old American country music. Like you try to play Whiskey in the Jar in Ireland, and they're like, "We don't want to hear Metallica." That's not true. But they, no, you go to Ireland, and they want to hear like Johnny Cash. They want to hear like Loretta. They want to hear old country music because it's the same kind of thing. Like there's a very deep connected, honest human aspect to it. Like I'm just airing out my troubles right now with a guitar and telling a very simple story. And one of the great things I've ever read about Irish music is that in the first line, they say in the first line of an Irish song, you should establish what time of year, where you are. Like in Star of the County Down that you'll hear at some point in this podcast, it's in Bambridge Town in the County Down one evening last July. Boom. That's where you are. You're the setting set.
Irish music presaged journalism.
Yeah. And there's...
Get your who, what, when, where, and why, and how.
Simple chord structures, and it's not about being fancy. It's just about the storytelling aspect and the message that you're getting across. And it's no matter if you're talking about something happy or if you're talking about death, it's always a celebration of it.
Okay, but this sounds like, from your opinion, that this has assimilated, that this is part of the fabric of what at least much of the United States is, musically, if nothing else. I mean, that almost argues, which I did not expect, we'll have breaking news here in the Whip Around. It almost sounds like you could go either way on whether St. Patrick's Day should stay or go, that perhaps it has made its imprint and it's not needed.
I feel like it's...
Am I going to get you, bludgeoned?
It's like a wedding anniversary. You celebrate it every day, but on that day is the day where you really, like, you make a Facebook status about it.
That's like, very nicely put.
You, right. St. Patrick's Day is the Facebook status of Irish.
Yeah, that's where the one where it's, you really let people know and everyone comes together. Like, the whole everyone's Irish on St. Patty's Day, it's kind of true. We're like, you celebrate it in your own way, however you want. But the music is the top of it. That's what is usually what people go to. It's like, yes, we're going to drink, but if you're going to talk about what's great about St. Patty's Day, usually one of the top things that you're talking about is, I want to listen to some Irish music. And that's why, like, for us, nothing against Celtic rock. Like, Celtic rock has its place. It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But there's not as many young people. Like, a lot of the bands, the Chieftains, the Wolftones, the Clancy Brothers, Tommy Makem, the people who are just, like, a bunch of guys with some acoustic instruments and a microphone telling stories with these old songs that are from 200 years ago, you don't hear a ton of anymore. And that's like, we just want to celebrate that. That's what we try to be. Like, we're just trying to be a bunch of guys hanging out with you in the theater, in the pub, or in the festival, wherever we are. We
just, or in your laugh. Basement.
Yeah, we just want to laugh.
The case may be.
We just want to crack a beer, crack a few jokes, and laugh together. We'll have a good time.
It is fascinating to me that, like, there's 2 days out of the year when Americans are like another ethnicity. Regardless, it's like
this,
I'm Irish and I'm Mexican.
Yep.
It's like that. There's two, yep, which two diametrically kind of opposite in on the surface, but then when you look at it, the way we celebrate them as Americans, it's pretty identical in terms of how we celebrate both those days.
And both days, it's like, what's the origin of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we I have no idea. We're drinking margaritas, yeah, or we're drinking Guinness. It's one of the two. We're
so,
drinking.
Well,
we love to drink as Americans.
You're drinking.
Yes,
and
I am.
You are not, you do not have Irish roots. Is that correct?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I've been there, but I'm not Irish at all.
Okay. Now, based on that fact,
mm-hmm,
because I have some Irish roots, these gentlemen have Irish roots. If you just talk to us for a minute about your perception of what St. Patrick's Day is like right now. What springs to mind? What do you picture? Obviously, we're talking to a band, so they're focusing a lot on the music, and I think that's a huge part.
Right.
But if you were just in a vacuum here,
right,
how would you describe, just in a few words, St. Patrick's Day?
Right. I mean, what the first thing that comes to my mind is drunk people,
mm-hmm,
the color green,
mm-hmm,
green beer, and parades. Like, that's those are the first things that come to my mind.
Okay.
But it's fascinating, because when I was in Ireland was like over 10 years ago, and it was right before, it was spring break of college. It was right before St. Patrick's Day. And over there, they were like, yeah, we don't do anything.
Yep.
The guy that I bought a necklace there, and the guy that I bought it from in the jewelry store, he was saying that he was about to come to America for St. Patrick's Day to celebrate. He's like, I'm going to come and check it out because it's such a thing, and here it's not.
It's like the Mardi Gras version.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that, like, we basically take all this stuff and we're like, we're going to just blow it up. Crazy.
So I was wondering then what you guys thought about, now that I guess we all have that perspective. Have we all been to Ireland now? Has everyone?
I am the only one in the room that has not made the trek.
But we are,
if I could take a moment, we are going in November.
All right.
As a band, we're taking a busload of people from November 10th to 18th. And we are, it's sign-upable. You can...
So for our Irish listeners, check that out.
Dude, our non-Irish listeners are more than welcome.
Seriously,
for
anyone.
All-inclusive.
Check out our website at roguediplomats.com. Do not go to rougediplomats.com, especially at work. You'll have a very awkward conversation with HR.
Oh, yeah.
And, but no, go to our website, roguediplomats.com.
These old French girls.
We're doing a tour of Ireland from November 10th to 18th, 2018, with Hammond Tours, and it's a great itinerary.
That's awesome.
We're literally taking whoever wants to sign up. We're going to put you on a bus. We're the hosts. We'll bring you from Dublin to Galway and back. We're staying in four-star accommodations the whole way. We're going to play a couple gigs, and we're going to go see all the sites. Some are like first-timers to Ireland, like me. Some are sites for people who've been there, like Brian, and like some of the deep cuts. So it's a nice mix, and it's just going to be a great, great social, just a party for a couple
days. That
sounds
awesome.
Well, being that you're going to be there then, being that this is such a big thing, what is your response as an Irish band, as someone who have front row seats to all of this culture? When you look at what St. Patrick's Day means or is in Ireland, and then look at what it is and has become in the United States, which, I mean, it bears pointing out, of course, that Irish immigrants are a huge part of the reason why. So it's the diaspora, right? The Irish diaspora.
Yeah.
Of why it's not just an accident that there's St. Patrick's Day here. It's not just, we like it. There were people in, New York, Chicago, all kinds of big cities that built a lot of the cities and the railways.
Yeah.
So seeing what it became here and what it is in Ireland, do you think it has been too commercialized in America? Are you a little more sanguine about, look, it's just different culturally? What do you guys think?
Do you have pushback? Because I know someone who's very Irish, lives here, is American, but she's very Irish. And she had just posted that she's like, seems to be upset, obviously, with what... the day has become here. So mm-hmm. do you agree with that, or are you like, yay, whatever?
I think there are plenty of people who cross the line. There are plenty of people who celebrate too hard, too early in the day, etc. But I mean, I feel like you can't fully separate the celebratory spirit from the day. I think part of what's made the day so popular is that it is just a large celebration, not unlike like Mardi Gras. And so I don't want to say that it's that you can't, go out and just, drink a ton of green beer and get crazy, but I mean, part of what makes the day so fun for us are people who, come out and really cut loose and have fun and, take an Uber home, be responsible. But I think that it's, again, I hesitate to just, totally blast people who only claim their Irish roots one day a year, but it's a...
it's like the people who go to church on Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, it's again, raised Catholic, but it's tough because there are, there are some people that ruin it for everybody if you're, in the wrong setting, but I mean, I feel like the same can be said for a lot of things. I mean, Cinco de Mayo, as you mentioned earlier, or Mardi Gras, or, any night at a bar.
But are people in the United States doing it right as far as you're concerned culturally? Or are people in Ireland doing it right? Or do you see that these are different cultures and you're cool with both? Like,
to each his own, because in Ireland, they celebrate... Look, St. Patrick wasn't Irish. Like, the original story of St. Like, the reason we celebrate the feast day of St. Patrick's is... The origin of St. Patrick's Day is that St. Patrick, who was born a Romano-Christian in the 4th century... or Romano-British in the 4th century.
He was kidnapped, right?
Yeah, he was kidnapped by Irish Raiders, which is my favorite football team, and brought to Ireland, and years later went back to Britain, became a priest, came back to Ireland
Drove the snakes out.
Drove the snakes out, and by snake, that
which
whole
is
thing,
metaphorical, yeah,
it's
right?
An,
what?
Snakes don't flourish up in the rocky Irish clime.
It's from an
anymore.
See? Are there snakes? I think I proved my point.
Because he had a goal.
He got rid of the goblins and the dragons.
But no,
that
actually derives from an allegory where the snakes were druids, because he came over, and St. Patrick's Day is the celebration of bringing Christianity to... when Christianity arrived in Ireland, and the snakes are the druids and pagans, and he drove them out of Ireland in sort of a Catholic Andrew Jackson
that
sort of
so
way.
That makes so much sense that
wow.
We celebrate it.
Catholic
Columbus
Andrew Jackson.
Day.
They
Saint
call
Patrick's
it the Trail of Beers. Yeah.
The Trail of Beers. Ladies and gentlemen, the road to all right, so can I shift gears a little bit and unspool something here, because I have a thread, I have a thought, and I want to know what you guys think about this.
Also, before you do that, I have to say that all the information that we know about St. Patrick is with an asterisk, because everything we know about St. Patrick is from a document called Declaration, written by St. Patrick.
Okay.
So he kind of like Antoine Fishered himself, so we can take that with a grain of salt. Like,
okay.
That might be how it happened, but it was written by him, so...
Definitely.
An autobiographical holiday. Maybe that's the only one. The only autobiographical-based holiday.
And he was 6'4" and incredibly handsome.
Yeah, right? And the snakes and the
So he was like
rocks.
Conor McGregor, essentially.
Anyhow, yeah. are we familiar in here, some, all, none, I don't know, with the King Puck Festival? In Ireland.
No.
I'm not.
Oh, well, then put up a seat and let me learn you a spell. it's the oldest, and maybe you'll have known about it when I start explaining it, but it's the oldest known festival in Ireland, and it's way down in the southwest. I forget the name of the town, but it's in, like, County Clare. It's way, way down mm-hmm. the southwest. But it derives from... In like the mid 17th century, when Cromwell was just charming his way across Ireland and just lighting everyone's life up by literally burning their fields, and slaughtering and taking the crops.
James Cromwell. Yeah.
He was delightful.
It was Bob. Bobby.
The guy from Babe.
Little Bobby yeah. Cromwell. No.
Actually, what Star Trek Nemesis was based on.
Yeah.
This is fun. But he was apparently marching the troops across this field near this particular town whose name escapes me right now. It's like Kilgrove or something. They happened to pass near a bunch of goats. And all the goats scattered from these British soldiers, because they weren't fond of them either, I guess. All the goats except for one ran off into the mountains. Just fled to the mountains, like, oh, the British are coming, or whatever. One goat, however, I suppose from a Darwinian perspective, it was the worst of the lot. The one goat did not run to the mountains. Instead, he fled toward the town. This happened to run away from these soldiers toward town. The townsfolk had heard some commotion and then saw one goat, like, I guess, bleeding and running and whatever, doing funny goat sounds you can see on YouTube.com, toward the town. Seeing this, the villagers realized something is up, something is wrong, and this effectively, in the legend, gave them enough heads up to get ready. The British are, again, the old call, the British coming, and they got ready, and apparently all survived and, outlasted or whatever. They were not slaughtered. And so, as the legend goes, they got this goat, this one errant goat, brought it in, crowned it king, and was like, this is like King Goat, and they had this enormous festival or whatever that went for 3 days of just partying, and just we're just so glad to be alive. To this day, it's 3 days in August, I think it's like the 20th, 21st, 22nd, something like that, there is a girl of the town who was chosen to be like Queen Puck. They go out, they get a mountain goat, they bring it into town. Briner's eyes are, he's realizing something. Were you the Queen Goat at some point? Were you Queen Puck?
No, I was thinking I knew what you were. I was thinking, oh, wait, I know about that. But no, you kept talking. No, I was thinking of something.
They bring the goat in. They crown it King Puck, whichever mountain goat they find. They put it on like this cage, but it's very pampered with its crown on and fed well through the entire thing. While for 3 days, the entire village during this The Goat is King festival, they party. There's music and dancing and like local foods. And the market stalls are open. The pubs are open an extra hour, which the local constabulary must love.
And everyone just goes, you know, happily nuts for 3 days. Well, and then they bring the goat down off this thing.
And they eat it.
I know. I always feel like that's what's next. But no, they're nice folks. They let it go. You know, a peasant goat again at last back into the mountains. And you know, again, oldest festival in Ireland, apparently. They still do. There's a big statue in, like, the town square of this bronzed goat. But here's what it got me thinking about.
How
really?
Do they choose the goat, right?
Why can't I be the goat?
It's like Groundhog Day. A bunch of guys in top hats just judging all of them.
If the goat sees his shadow, Cromwell is coming. Yeah. But what made me think about this thing that at the root of this is a painful memory. This idea that Cromwell and the British were – there was starvation. There was death. There were massacres. This painful thing, though, managed to bring out some light. They found something to be happy about, something to rejoice about, something to get through that particular memory. Then I was thinking about St. Patrick's Day. And while I agree, I've checked some of the historical record myself, we're not entirely sure what St. Patrick was all about and why it was popular. That's clear. But as far as the Irish Americans who did so much for St. Patrick's Day over here, well, they dealt with famine. They dealt with being, you know, new to this enormous country, often being pressed into service and poverty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Or not being able to, the Nino Law, not being able to get a job.
Thank you. It was a bummer. Yeah. There was a lot of bummer. Ask anyone who studied anything from Civil War to housing to whatever, the, you know, the Irish, and they're not alone in this. But this culture had things to be upset about. And then there's St. Patrick's Day, the celebration of Irish culture, something, you know, the light under the bushel, right? There's this thing to be happy about. And then I started thinking to myself, are some or maybe the best holidays coping mechanisms?
Yep.
Really? What are your thoughts on that? Anybody here? Anybody sound off? Are we coping through holidays and festivals like that?
Some of the really serious festivals are festivals and celebrations and just in general, like cultures who really hold near and dear the celebratory aspects and of what they're about are people who've been oppressed at one time or another. Like there's Irish Americans, Italian Americans, African Americans, there's Mexican Americans. There's tons of there's a lot of groups who have been just kind of put down at different points in history. And I think those are the ones where like the festivals, the celebrations that they have are so much more oomph behind them. Because they've gotten through it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Christmas. You know, the whole Jesus guy, like, you know, his life was not without discomfort.
Yeah.
The ending was pretty dark.
His death was certainly not without discomfort.
I don't know if you've gotten to that part of the story.
Spoiler.
He got better.
He did.
It's true. But you know what I mean? Even that one is like, well, we'll go back. We'll maybe celebrate the early times. It's not like Merry Crucifixion Day.
But I also think I think that something that's not totally unique to Ireland, but is something that Irish, especially Irish Americans, hold on to is that sort of gallows humor where it's, what are you going to do about it but laugh? Like, let's find the happiness in it because there's so many songs that have to do with there's a joke and a dead body in the same song.
That's true. Like, well, dead bodies are funny.
I think so.
Listen.
How come when I stand on the podcast, everyone acts like I'm normal? I stand at the grocery store while I'm standing on top of the meat counter and it's a whole ruckus.
We do the song Finnegan's Wake. Tons of people do that. And it's like we turn it into a drinking game. It's a celebration. And it's the whole thing's based on punchlines. And it's about a guy who just died and we carry him off and we do the wake.
So, Donald, your thoughts that holidays and festivals are so often... And maybe let me turn it. Let me twist a little bit on you here. Are we whitewashing things and failing to, you know, as far as the celebrations turn joyous, are we failing to properly absorb and contextualize pain? Or is it something else? Is it something that is helpful more than it's hurtful? Do you see what I'm saying? Are we facing enough? Or are we...
Well, I think, as time goes on, I think anything, you know, any celebration that's to avoid pain, you know, it's just human nature to focus more on the celebratory aspect and, you know, some of the hardship kind of gets washed away. And I mean, with St. Patrick's Day, I mean, as Matt said earlier, I mean, the Irish, as a people have, you know, they've been through some stuff. And I think, you know, kind of that generational memory, you know, as time goes on, you know, there isn't as much first person or even second person recollection of, you know, the Nina laws and, you know, all the hardship that, you know, the Irish went through when they came over, you know, during the famine and, you know, all the things after that. And so So what you're left with is this more distilled celebratory tone to the whole holiday. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that it's necessarily that we're kind of turning our back on it, as there isn't that first person recollection of really, you know, how we got there.
Jill, what do you think? As the not Irish at all person, with like St. Patrick's Day or with any holiday, your Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, based on starvation. Are we ignoring the pain part unhealthily, or are we doing it the right way by enshrining the good times? Because, you know, a lot of times people will make jokes about the Irish based on that, or the, you know, we sort of there are some folks who will look at Thanksgiving and be like, oh, whatever, you know. But is the pain ignored at our detriment here?
I don't know. I mean, I definitely think it's not to be so millennial about it, but
do it.
I do feel that the one group that does get completely whitewashed are Native Americans. Like, I'm waiting for that holiday because fry bread's delicious. And there needs to be more, like, there's, like, even when you think about, like, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no, it's all about the pilgrims and the Native Americans helped them eat food. And then there's no, like, Trail of Tears celebrate. Like, there's nothing where we, like, commemorate, like, that group.
Okay.
And there's so much with that group. Like, Columbus Day, you're like, oh, yeah, you discovered America. That's great.
Which at least I would think now the cultural zeitgeist is such that we're a little
changing a little bit, but I don't know that there's as much celebration.
It's getting there. That's the thing. People are always like, Columbus didn't actually discover America, but I'll also take an off day that day.
Well, it's Indigenous People's Day in some places. It's Indigenous People's Days in a number of areas.
But that should
now
actually be a day is what I'm saying. Agreed. Like, that's not like an actual...
Well, do you want to?
You better make it that way, Sean.
Do you want to play a game?
I do.
Do you want to play
a game?
Can we play a little game?
Yes.
I want to give Jill what she wants, which is what I'm here to do. Is just give people what they want. All right. So, how about we play create a holiday? Let's do the create a holiday game, which needs a better name. But here's by the way it's going to go. First person will name a horrible, terrible, painful, scarring historical event. All right.
This is going to be so PC. It's going to be amazing.
Nothing is safe. Nothing is sacred. God damn it.
Someone's going to write a book.
The next person, all right, so the next person around the table will then say, okay, here's the holiday that we will do to make it nicer, to make something happy. You can talk, maybe there's a tradition or two, what color schemes would be involved, when in the year it's going to be. Do what they do in an Irish song and be clear about where we are and what's going on and what's happening, right? The next person, the third and final person, can talk about how this would end up getting bastardized as time goes on. For example, if someone were to say, let's choose the Irish potato famine and the diaspora, the difficulties and the you know, all that. Okay, well, the next person in line or on the table would say, okay, St. Patrick's Day, celebration of Irish culture and whatever, choosing a very popular saint, and it could be, you know, prayers, it's a very Catholic country, there could be, you know, exploration of Irish culture, a focus on the Irish language, and, you know, some drinking and socializing. The third person, they're going to be like, all right, we're talking green rivers, we're talking big, fat shamrock beads, and a tie-in with a horror movie series where there's a murderous leprechaun.
In space.
Oh, shit.
Or in the hood.
I don't know how much you've been listening to The Whip Around, but you just hit a very...
That's right.
Excellent, sir. Excellent. Or indeed, in the hood. Do you want to play? Do you want to do that? Can we play?
Let's dance.
Jill? I was going to say, does it have to be something terrible? Because we normally commemorate happy things.
No, we don't. Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we didn't die. That's what we celebrate.
But it was... Did you not read about Jamestown?
Yes, I know, but that...
Oh, my God.
But that's not what we're... No, what are we celebrating on Thanksgiving? They're not going to be like, Jamestown.
I don't think you're getting the point here.
Roanoke. We're not celebrating the lost colony of Roanoke.
Do not get the point.
I do.
The whole thesis of the point is that the festival grows out of pain. Jesus.
We could
Christ.
Celebrate Roanoke. There could be like something akin to an Easter egg hunt, you know, where we find it.
You know, Disney World is built on at least 12 Indian burial grounds. All right? So goodness comes out of pain.
Continue on with the game.
For the love
what's
of God.
The bad thing? What's the terrible, horrific?
Yeah, I'm going to start.
What's the Indian burial grounds in Disney World? Is it Seminoles and the ones from Peter Pan, right?
It's all of them. Yep. And they're marbles. They're all down there. Jill, here's what I'm going to give you. The Trail of Tears. Give us a holiday that takes that frown and turns it upside down.
Oh, my God. That's so rough.
You asked, and so you shall receive.
I didn't want
this. And then it's going to be Donnelly's job to show how this could get bastardized further down the line. Corporatized, bastardized.
So wait, what am I doing?
Jesus H.
Well, but I thought...
Where do you go when we're doing this show?
I thought the point was, though, to come up with a thing.
What about the holiday? I'm giving you...
What the holiday is?
Yeah, you're the holiday, and then Donnelly's going to talk about how it's bastardized and taken further.
Okay, so Trail of Tears.
So there's a Trail of Tears, but you're going to make it something nicer, something that celebrates something to... You guys are here for the show, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Okay. Because I'd want it to actually be, like, good.
That's... Yes.
Well, it's hard with the Trail of Tears.
Remember, St. Patrick's Day took this idea and said, well, look, let's celebrate the Irish culture, and here's how.
Right. We could do, like, Sacagawea Day, Fry Bread Appreciation Day. I'm so sorry, Native Americans that are listening.
Does anybody want to try to pick this up and do something nicer with the day?
Jill's
really good at knocking down. Someone who's good at propping.
Well, I would do like Indigenous Peoples, like Indigenous Peoples Day.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you're the nice version. We're like, what are we celebrating?
It's like, celebrate.
That's the point of the game is to get away from the bad.
Donnelly's going to do the next part.
Yeah, don't worry about that. So, okay, what do we do?
Right.
What are some fun things and genuinely good things to do on Indigenous Peoples Day, Jill version?
Right. Jill version would be that you...
Fry bread.
Right. That you eat Native American foods.
Right.
That you actually learn about them. That you don't put on a headdress unless you are Native American.
Sure.
That you learn about it. That you read little... that you read books about it. That you have different people that... You have the bios for.
Is there a color scheme for the day?
Yeah, they're colors. So
I'm saying, what would you say is like the, you know?
I'm not an expert, so I don't want to like speak out of turn, but I would imagine like kind of maybe like earth tones.
Okay.
Or, you know, brighter colors, because I think certain tribes had.
So any color?
Whatever the colors are that they use. So I'll pick some. I'll pick some for the purpose of the text.
Thank you.
Do yellow, blue, and red.
Okay. And then when in the year will this fall?
In the fall. Early fall. So,
September.
Like, early... Yeah, September. So, let's do, like, first weekend in September.
First weekend in September. And Donnelly, I'm kind of setting you up here now, right? And it sounds like... Is there a particular activity that's like, everybody does this?
Yes.
Like, everybody opens presents, right? Or everybody sits around the table and eats a big meal. Or everybody puts on a costume and goes and asks for candy.
Everybody eats a big meal.
Okay. Donnelly, now that we got here, it's 6 o'clock. What happens to this festival down the road when corporations and people who just want to have a good time get a hold of it?
Well, Sean, we here at U-Haul are terrified at the horrible implications of the Trail of Tears, but we are very happy to celebrate Relocation Weekend. And here at U-Haul, we are glad to help you find new beginnings in new places. Also brought to you by Sands Casino. We are happy to help you to move your things, whether you like it or not, to a new place. And so, sponsored by U-Haul, you can get 50% off and then celebrate in your new home with whatever Indigenous food you like, be it Chinese food, Indian food, whatever the greatest restaurant is in your new neighborhood. Let U-Haul help you start fresh someplace you weren't before.
All right. And so we see how history can work. So let's move things along then. So, Jill, why don't you serve up Mr. Donnelly some terrible historical event?
Wait, what?
Hit it up. It's something horrible that happened.
A bad thing that happened.
But not Trail of Tears we're doing.
No, that was one round.
Sorry.
That's
something
over.
Something akin.
Okay. Waco.
Okay. So, Waco, Texas, Branch Davidian. Fun.
Yeah.
Again, Donnelly, let's think about when in the year this is celebrated, some color schemes, some traditions, right? Maybe what everyone gets together and does. Respectfully and joyfully.
Well, not to, I believe Jill called it go all millennial on you, but I don't particularly recall when in the year, I believe it was in the summer, that the Waco...
I don't either. Actually.
Okay.
Offhand. Sorry, listeners. But
I know, I didn't watch the miniseries.
I was going to say, there's not a show
about this. Unfortunately.
Yeah. But hey, we can put it wherever we want. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't
Texas.
Want it right
it's always
on
summer. It's always summer in Texas.
People say St. Patrick's Day is on like the death of St. We don't want to do that. It's the feast day and whatever. So you can move things around however you want.
I mean, like, I feel like that stretch from the 4th of July to Indigenous Peoples Day, as we have now deemed it, there's kind of a...
Relocation Day?
Relocation Day. There's a gap between the 4th of July and Moving Day. So I feel like late July, early August feels like a good time to place this holiday. As far as the title of the holiday... maybe something along the lines of, like, Government Resistance Day or Government Overreach Day.
It's brought to you by the Fox News Channel.
Yeah. Very targeted audience on this one. And maybe we can, do some memorials, maybe some angry parades outside of, local government buildings, and really just rail against the overreach of federal government against religious liberty in these trying times.
And then, so what is something everyone gets together and does on this holiday?
Maybe like burn some tax forms, buy some guns, where's white tennis shoes? I'm now just mixing and matching Texan tragedy.
Sure.
But, I don't really remember much about the Waco tragedy, so...
Well, really, I mean, they
lumping them in with Heaven's Gate.
You're celebrating an idea, though, here. So I'm still a little unclear, maybe, just about what everyone gets together and does as the big pinnacle thing. So is it a burning thing? Is it like a bonfire?
Yeah,
we'll
burn an effigy. We'll barricade ourselves into wherever we're burning the effigy, but there will be a barricade, and then we'll burn an effigy of David Koresh in memoriam of his noble sacrifice for the advancement of religious liberty.
Okay. Intense. Bryner, what happens to, what are we calling it? Overreach Day?
Government Overreach Day.
What happens? Bastardize that for us, please.
Well, I know what I like to do on every GRD is, at least in my neighborhood, everybody goes to the Halloween store because they have their early shipment of blonde mullets, and we throw one of those on. And local bars have, thankfully it's in the summer, so they have people within the bar and people outside the bar drinking outside as well. Usually we all drink throughout the day, and once tensions mount, there's a giant water gun fight. Except everyone... there's some sort of scripted speech by the owner of the pub or bar, whichever establishment you go to, really, really hammering down the fact that we don't know whose super soaker went off first.
Oh, boy. All right. Okay, and so does this end up, it keeps the same name, basically, though, Bryner? Just...
It's Government Overreach Day.
Yeah, okay.
In some places.
So it's still God Day.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was wondering if anybody was going to do anything with that. Okay. I actually thought that I was sure that was going to end with a barbecue. I was absolutely sure.
I was really trying not to.
All right. Should we do one more round? Do you want to do one more round of this? So we're Donnelly's bringing up something terribly painful.
Something terribly painful.
It could be, recent, or you could go far back to where we haven't dealt with one.
It's kind of crossing over, but I really want to, I think we should dig deeper into Roanoke. I really feel like that's an American tragedy that has not been adequately covered.
Oh, God, yeah. You're absolutely right.
In the zeitgeist.
It's the terrible mystery of...
Where'd they go?
Badly managed one. Okay, so the Roanoke disappearance, which we're all fairly...
Yes.
So for that, Finders Keepers? Lost
Virginians. Right. Nice. Happy Finders Keepers. Nice. Yeah, that works.
Lost Virginians Day.
I like Finders Keepers.
I like Finders Keepers.
But,
I feel like Finder Keepers is the next round.
Yeah, that's what it turns into.
It doesn't start as Finders Keepers.
Yeah, we get that person, that one person from the Lost Colony of Roanoke, like Woody Harrelson and Wag the Dog, where like they get one person to represent the people who are lost at Roanoke, and we make it that person's day, and we celebrate the courage of those that came over, because that was That was the first comet, right?
Well, Jamestown was the first
one. Yeah, that was like
it was early.
Yeah, you're right.
It was early.
But we celebrate the hardships that they went through coming over from England, landing in Virginia, and building the colony. So I think that could be something very, very rustic, where we're like sitting around a fire. We can build something, not necessarily a full cabin, but we can get together and just not necessarily kill some trees to make something, but we build a log cabin.
So when in the year does this fall?
Going late April.
There you go.
We're going like last week of April or early May, like post Easter. There's no other holidays really there.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not really stepping on any toes. Okay. So let's go there. It's warm out. We can go outside.
And then are there colors? Is there a...
Black, white, and gold for the pilgrim white collar, black, okay, and gold buckle.
See. Here's what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing is a bastardization. This is co-opted the way I'm seeing it in my head. This becomes largely a college holiday. And what happens is Finders Keepers becomes very much like the re-engagement of the Key Party type thing, to where many college students erect sort of tents or lean-tos all around campus. And it sort of is a night where there is a lot of drinking, and one never knows where they're going to spend the night. Like, you build tents upon tents upon tents, and they're just around. It's not necessarily yours anymore, right? So everyone's drinking and just hanging around, and one never knows which tent one is going to spend the night in at Finders Keepers. You found it. It's yours. It's unoccupied. That's where you're spending the night after you get good and liquored up on Finders Keepers. Now, a lot of college campuses certainly try to shut this down, I am sure. And so what happens is it does tend to sort of move and matriculate and to more camp areas, yeah, right? But it is always done through a particular college. It is an enormous thing. And I'm thinking that's probably like a Virginia Tech, sort of like the mecca of where this happens. And other colleges do smaller versions.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing is the bastardization of Finders Keepers.
And some get shut down every year, but the Facebook comment section is just a mess.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that was a lot of fun. I know you guys are out of time. We're just about out of time ourselves for the show. To say goodbye, can we get one more song before you go, since we have to do, we're going to do an act three without you, so we can remember you. Will you do one more song?
Never Let Go. You got it.
You got it. Anything for you, Sean.
Thank you.
And where are you guys going to be playing?
Plug time. Word. Let's see. Friday, March 16th, we are at Rivals in Easton, Pennsylvania, 8 to 12. We are there. Get there at 8. It's going to be a time. The biggie is Saturday, March 17th. St. Patty's Day itself. The biggie. Is 4 o'clock at the Triad Theater on 72nd Street. Check our website. It's only a $10 ticket. It's a great theater. And for those of you that are of the ilk who don't go out on St. Patty's Day in New York because you're afraid, this isn't a theater. You're paying for tickets. It's controlled chaos. There's not going to be craziness, too much craziness. You'll be amongst friends. It's a safe space. Come on, check us out. It's going to be a great time.
That's awesome. And then Whiskey Picnic, available on, I know, iTunes, where I had it. Is that the preferred place to go and find the Rogue Diplomats album?
That is probably the best.
Yeah, okay. I would say so.
Check it out on iTunes. You will not be sorry. What you've heard today, you know, you've heard one excerpt of one of their songs from the album. They're just as good live. So take your pick. Check out the Rogue Diplomats. I'm telling you, they are the scene, man. So, guys, I do want to say thank you for coming. I'm on a hunt for merch. Do you guys have some cool merch I can get a hold of?
Yeah, man. If you go to our website, you can get t-shirts.
Stickers.
We love a good sticker.
We have kids, so you can get onesies and bibs. Like, there's crazy stuff that you can order.
Awesome.
There's all kinds of fun stuff on
kid
the website.
Kid sizes only on the...
Oh, no. You can do onesies? Kids, adults.
On the onesies?
The onesies
are a kid only situation. You can special order them.
I was just gonna say we can get you some feety pajamas if you give us some time.
I'll be in touch. I'll be in touch for sure. Okay, so we have been very fortunate to get so much time with the Rogue Diplomats. We do want to say thank you, and then listen to them on the way out here, and then you'll be back with Jill and myself doing three for the road to send you on your way. once again, the Rogue Diplomats.
Here I am amongst you, and we're here because we're here. And I'm only 12 months older than I was this time last year. Ride along with me to Raya, with me to Raya. More a man has, the more a man wants, but the same I don't think true. I never met a man with one black eye that wished that he had two. Raya, me to Raya, with me to Raya. Ride along with me to Raya, with me to Raya. When I was younger, I was jealous of the things that the kids on the Cosby Show had got. But seeing how all that stuff turned out, I'm thinking maybe not. Raya, me to Raya, with me to Raya. Ride along with me to Raya, with me to Raya. Near Bambridge Town in the county down, one evening last July, down a bowling green came a sweet Colleen, and she smiled as she passed me by. Well, she looked so neat in her two bare feet, and the sheen of her golden hair. Such a coaxing elf, I had to shake myself to make sure I was standing there. From Bantry Bay down to Derry Kay, from Galway to Dublin Town, no maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I've met at the county down. Well, she onwards bid, and I shook my head, and I gazed with a feeling queer. And I said some sighs to a passerby, who's your one with the golden hair? Well, he smiled at me, and the pride to see such a gem of old Ireland's crown. Young Rosie McGann from the banks of the Bann and the star of the county down. From Bantry Bay down to Derry Kay, from Galway to Dublin Town, no maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met at the county down. At the harvest fair, she'll be surely there, and I'll dress in me Sunday clothes. With my hat all bright, and my shoes shone bright, with a smile from the golden rose. No horse I look, no pipe I'll smoke, for the rust in me plows turn brown. By my fireside, such a smiling bride, that's a star of the county down. From Bantry Bay down to Derry Kay, from Galway to Dublin Town, no maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met at the county down. She'd a soft brown eye, and a look so sly, and a smile like a rose in June. And you held each note in her auburn throat as she lilted lamenting tunes. At the pattern dance, she began a trance, shift to a jigger or rail. Well, her eyes she'd hold and she'd lift your soul, her heart she would likely steal. From Bantry Bay down to Derry Kay, from Galway to Dublin Town, no maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met at the county down. When near Bambridge Town in the county down, one evening last July, down a bowling green came a sweet Colleen, and she smiled as she passed me by. Well, she looked so neat in her two bare feet, in the sheen of her golden hair. Such a coaxing belt, I had to shake myself, make sure I was standing there. From Bantry Bay down to Derry Kay, from Galway to Dublin Town, no maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met at the county down. From Bantry Bay down to Derry Kay, from Galway to Dublin Town, no maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met at the county down.
Excellent.
Damn.
Excellent. Hi, this is Dave from the Whip Around. You know what I love? A hot, steaming cup of coffee. But you know what I love more? Stars. So be sure to go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review so more people can find the Whip Around. Thanks again.
Oh, that was fun. And now the Whip Around returns for Act 3. And now it's just Jill and me. How you doing, Jill?
I'm doing great, man. That music, it pumps you up.
They play the music well.
Yeah.
They're good. And then I don't mean to talk out of turn here, but the guys expressed interest in returning sometime, maybe around Music Fest. So they will be joining us once again, I hope, at least once again.
I hope so, too. They were a lot of fun.
Yeah. And they destroyed some holidays on purpose with us, and that was awesome. We took a lot of time with them, though, so there is very little left. So we should probably get into Three for the Road.
Yes? Agreed.
Wind things up. So for those of you who are not familiar or just enjoy hearing me talk about it, Three for the Road is our chance, 30 seconds apiece, to talk about something that we either didn't get time to talk about on the show, didn't fit with the theme of the show, or maybe we didn't go the direction the person talking wanted to go with it during the show. We get three chances. But once that 30 seconds is up during your turn, you'll hear something a lot like this. And that means your turn is over. It's time to stop. The next person goes. And then Jill and I will just sort of volley that back and forth until we've each done three. And then that, as they say, will be that. So if no one has any questions out there, oh, well, that doesn't sound like you do. Who's going to go first, Jill, you or me?
You go first.
All right. Then once you hear the sound of the bell, it will be off and running for Three for the Road from me.
Here we go. Okay, so I'd like to use my first shot here, my first 30 seconds, to talk about Oregon. Oregon, I love you. Amazing job. Once again, proving that you are an amazing group of Americans up there. The governor of Oregon just recently, Kate Brown is her name, actually signed a bill that makes it even harder for domestic abusers and violent offenders to get guns. They can no longer do that if they have a domestic violence or stalking conviction. Can't buy, can't keep a gun. It used to be that only married people had that problem, and boyfriends and whatever could still go, but now boyfriends can't do that shit either. So good job, Oregon.
Along that route, the NRA is suing Florida because the governor Rick Scott passed the bill that actually helps control guns and what age you can buy guns and all that kind of fun stuff. So the NRA, get with the program. People want gun reform. They don't necessarily want to come and take all your guns away. Just listen to the people. It makes me so angry.
Nobody wants to take the guns. They just don't want you to kill people.
Ugh, like, have a brain and use it.
All right. Speaking of having a brain and using it, I would like to call out and mock not just the president, not just the people that would blame violent video games for the shootings in America, but also a lot of like more liberal media who are jumping on the bandwagon just like it's back to Tipper Gore times, suggesting that, yes, we need to address violence in video games. Now, look, violence in video games, there's good and bad. There's well done and poorly executed. But after gun violence, after massacres, pointing the finger at lyrics to songs and violent video games and movies and not addressing the fact that we have millions and millions and millions of guns and millions of people who have them who shouldn't, that's irresponsible and dumb. In the media, you should know better.
Back to something happy. Avatar Flight of Passage legit is like the best ride ever. I mean, I just cannot get over this ride. It's amazing. You really feel like you're flying. It's the closest thing, I think, to like having wings and actually flying. I mean, I understand planes exist, but like this is like you feel like you're out there in the wind feeling it, and it is the most immersive ride experience I've ever had. And I am not a coaster person, and it was just amazing. Seriously, if you have the chance to go to Disney Animal Kingdom, do it.
I would like to, can we reset the timer? Cause I need to see it. I need to say it. I would like to give a shout out to Jupiter. I love Jupiter. I'm one of those people who like alone at night when it's like, you know, time to go to bed and I can't sleep. I'll look up pictures and whatever of like the planets and everything and just look at how amazing they look. Well, scientists have just found on Jupiter, there's even more that we didn't know. Constellations, they call them. Constellations of cyclones on Jupiter's poles, like 8 at the North Pole, just like going and going at like gale force hurricane winds over years and years and years. They look amazing. Google constellation cyclones Jupiter and see these things for yourself. Also, the atmosphere there is thicker than they previously thought. We're still learning about Jupiter.
Hey, so as you all maybe should hopefully be aware by now, I am single, and I get reminded of it a lot, but I also remind myself about it a lot, but I love it. So I decided to create a YouTube channel. It's called Spinsterhood. You should check it out. It's going to be some advice, and a lot of it, though, you don't have to be single to enjoy it. A lot of it's going to be me kind of like navigating this world of owning a house and dealing with stuff, which the night before my vacation, my roof leaked again in my bedroom. It was dripping. It was great. Yeah. Trying to relax before vacation. But anyway, so check it out. Spinsterhood on YouTube.
And that is three for the road. And may I say, and Jill has agreed with me that we're going to talk about Spinsterhood a little bit more the next time we do the whip around.
Word.
Can explore it a little more. That the first episode especially, I thought was really cool because you went into specifically about why Spinsterhood as a concept is not just for single people. Why this can apply and be interesting and entertaining to people who are not just single unmarried women of a certain age.
Right.
So Jill does a great job with that. So I encourage you, whether you are a single female of whatever certain age or not, you could be a man, a married anyone. Check out what Jill is doing with Spinsterhood. It's really cool and definitely worth the time. Plus, just like seeing our Jill in front of a fireplace, like sipping on, was that scotch? I assumed it was scotch.
It was an old fashioned.
Okay.
It was like my version of an old fashioned.
Okay. So, you know, it's just very classy. It's a great way to spend it. It's not even long. How long are these videos? They're only like 10 minutes.
My goal
right?
is to make all of them around like 5 minutes or under.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're short.
They're short, but they're full of fun. So check them out. We want to say thank you again to the Rogue Diplomats. We want to say hey and hi to everybody who has rated and subscribed. And if you haven't already, please do so. You can contact us, whiparound@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We're all over the place. We also still have that contest running for the Warriors poster.
lest we forget. I'm pretty sure that's going to be wrapping up within 2 weeks, maybe three. So you want to get in there, rate The Whip Around and rate Sex and Violence. So make sure to rate that. Listen to their podcast, too. It's really cool. But if you want to get a shot at the poster that we are able to give away, the custom The Warriors poster from local artist Tyler Martis, be sure to get that in as soon as you can. And we, of course, thank you for every listen and every rating. And so do the guys at Sex and Violence, I am sure. So until then, I am Sean. That is Jill. You can't see where I'm pointing, but she sounds cool.
Yeah, I do.
I told you. We will be signing off, and we hope to see you somewhere, sometime, because, frankly, we love you.
Bye. Bye.
And the snakes are the druids and pagans, and he drove them out of Ireland in sort of a like Catholic Andrew Jackson sort of way.
That makes so much sense that we celebrated
Catholic
Columbus
Andrew Jackson.
Day.
They call it the Trail of Beers.
The Trail of Beers. Ladies and gentlemen, the rogue diplomats.